Well, we read from Psalm 112, and it's got that lovely verse in it, verse 7, and it says, "They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." And I said earlier, wouldn't it be wonderful if it read, "They will have no bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." But it's not what the Bible says. What it says is, "They will have no fear of bad news." In fact, it's worse than that. Psalm 34, verse 19. Hesitate to read it to you, but this is what it says. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all." So bad things do happen to good people. So what's the difference? What difference does it make being a Christian if bad things are going to happen to us, if we're still going to lose our jobs, lose family members, lose our health? What's the difference? And the difference is the Holy Spirit. Listen to this from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" I was reading listening to a sermon the other day about this verse, and it was paraphrased like this: "Don't even think of starting without me. Wait until the power comes on you from my Spirit." And we're told in Scripture that without Christ we can do nothing, but we're also told with Christ we can do all things. And so that's the difference, is the Spirit of God within us. We have God's presence within us. Any bad news that we may receive, we can instantly take to the Lord. He's not aloof and distant, but he's approachable and available. And David could even say, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And you know, God will be with you even if that's what you're facing. He'll be with you both ends of the valley. Even death won't separate us from God's love. You know, when you get to heaven, look out for one particular person. They're going to be really interesting to talk to. They were the thief that died on the cross next to Jesus. Lived the Christian life for, I don't know, an hour and a half, and became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, literally in their dying hours. And his testimony is short, but it's packed with information about how God operates. He said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Is that it? Puts his trust in Jesus. He asks Jesus, and Jesus makes him a promise like that: "Today you will be with me in paradise." You know, it's very easy for us to imagine, if you're familiar with these words, that it was a conversation. It wasn't a conversation. It was words gasped out two or three at a time by two dying men. And Jesus managed to get the words out, pushing himself up against the footnails to say, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So for the believer, the day of your departure is the same day as your arrival. If that's the biggest fear that we could ever face, is death itself, to know that the Lord will be with us both ends of that valley and take us through it, is such a huge comfort to us. So if God is with us, what else can we fear? There's so many scriptures that we could refer to here, but I like Paul's assurance at the end of Romans chapter 8. It's the best of all of the explanations of the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the New Living Translation. He says, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. So, is the Apostle Paul assuming that we're going to have fears for today and worries about tomorrow? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You know, that thief put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ maybe an hour or a couple of hours before he died. So if he's a Christian now, why is he still in pain? Why did Jesus not say, well, you're a believer now, so, you know, all the pain will go? No, he still died. They broke his legs to kill him because he couldn't push himself up anymore. But he doesn't walk in heaven with a limp, you know. He's with the Lord Jesus Christ and has been. After 2 hours of pain, he's had 2,000 years of paradise. It's worth it in the end. It's not about what you feel, it's about what you know to be real. We're sealed with the Spirit by which we are allowed to call God Abba, Daddy. Not only do we have God's presence within us, we've got God's plan ahead of us. I don't know if you think of Jeremiah. What do you imagine when you picture Jeremiah? Do you imagine an old man in a kind of black robe with a long beard? That's not at all what Jeremiah looked like. He was a young man. He was very young. And he was given a pile of bad news. He was told by God that the Jewish people were no longer going to be allowed to live in Judah and Israel. That God was so disappointed in them that he was actually going to send an enemy nation to come and make slaves of them and take them off to go and live in Babylon at the other end of the Euphrates River, a long, long way from home. And Jeremiah would never live to see them come back again. So here's a young man, and he's given all this bad news, and he prays for the people. And eventually God said to Jeremiah, I don't want you to pray for the people anymore. It's too late. It's going to happen. They're going to Babylon. But it's in that context of that same book that God says to Jeremiah, but it's not all bad news. I've got a plan. And actually, Melissa shared Jeremiah 29:11 last week. God says, in that context, but I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But you know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to get our heads around the idea that God's plan might be a different hope. It might be a different plan. It might be a different future to what you had anticipated. But it's going to be the best. For us, whatever bad news we might receive is far outweighed by the good news of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ bled and died on that cross to take away our sin and set us free. We are made heaven ready by the blood of Jesus. We can be made completely clean. And in the end, we will win. We've also got the promise of God's power surrounding us. So many scriptures that we could share here as well. But we'll be given the power to survive every trauma and difficulty that we might go through. We're not saved from the challenges. We're saved from their impact. We might have our fiery furnace, but not alone and with no lasting effect. The thief on the cross walks around heaven, and he's in better condition than Jesus is because of the love that Jesus had for him. So, we've got God's plan, and we've got God's presence, and we've got God's power, and when we rest on these things, we can have God's peace. To some extent, we can decide how we react to bad news. We can react with fear or anger or with shock or despair. But we can ask some questions about this bad news that we've just received. We can ask some questions about God's reaction to it. Is God surprised? Is God's plan diverted somehow? Or does it include this? You can ask, is God worried about me? You can ask, does God really love me? And the Bible is so clear. God is not surprised. He's not diverted. He's not anxious about you. And he's not uncaring. No, Paul says we need to train ourselves to pray, because it's when we pray and cast ourselves on the Lord, that's when the peace of God that passes all understanding can be ours in Christ Jesus. Well, with all that knowledge, will you still worry? Yes. But you don't need to. You don't need to. You're a child of God. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. You know, I've sometimes been at sea when the navigation has failed. And it's quite alarming, particularly at night. You look out the window and there's blackness and darkness all around you. And all you've got is a magnetic compass. So you vaguely head towards land and hope that you see some lights. But you know, the great thing is that out here in the Murray Firth, if that happens, and I've been there in the dark, somewhere off Nairn, the great thing is, if you look to the west, there'll be a flashing light. And everything else around you might fail, but that flashing light of the Shannonry Point Lighthouse has been flashing every day, every night, since the 15th of May, 1846, when it was put up. You can rely on it. And the great thing about the Shannonry Point Lighthouse is if you sail one cable to the south on a west bearing, the lights of Inverness open up in front of you. And it's a great analogy of how the Lord can be. We were quoted by Mike, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And to have that guarantee, that lighthouse, that direction from God, you may not know the way ahead, but you can rely that his plan is absolutely secure and in your best interests. I think that would be a good thing to sing at the end, coincidentally. So shall we stand and sing together, My Lighthouse? I love this.